Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Today is part two of my two-part interview with a mighty woman of God, Kristen Schott. Now, Kristen suffered with an eating disorder for several years, but was finally able to overcome it with God's help. Now, she helps others that are going through the same experiences. How? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you missed any of the prior episode, we laid the foundation with Kristen about what she'll be sharing today. Talk about her background and how she came to write her book called More Than Conquerors, which instead of using taglines and headings and subheadings to divide her book into sections, she uses scripture references and discusses them in relation to the eating disorders and mental things that surround that particular topic that she's discussing. What a concept, right? I know. Using scripture to bring healing to someone who needs it. Amen. Well, today I'm going to start the conversation off with a question for Kristen about the food and drinks that you put into your body and how that actually contributes to eating disorders. I think you'll be amazed at the relationship. Now, here is Kristen Schott. The next section is about food and drink, and that makes sense since we're talking about eating disorders. But how does the food and drink you put into your body also relate to the spiritual aspect of fighting this disorder?
Yes. So with food and drink, I think that my main point when I get across here is a couple things, you know, because God created food not to be feared. You know, he created it to fuel us and to for us to enjoy. But also, I think it's important that we get across because, you know, especially in eating disorders, we are putting foods off limits. We're saying, no, that's bad for you. I can't eat that, or I can't eat a certain amount. And it's like God cares more about what you put into your eyes and into your ears than he does into your stomach. And what I mean by that is God cares more about what you listen to and what you see and how you are like stewarding your heart and your spirit more than he cares, oh, she ate a carrot, or oh, she ate a piece of cake. And so I think when it's, you know, because we put quote unquote rules on food in our eating disorders, and God did not put those rules there. And he is, of course, you know, the Bible says that our bodies are, you know, a temple for the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, if we are feeding it cake and ice cream every single day, all day, we're probably not going to feel very good. We're not going to be energized and all of that. But that doesn't mean that we can't eat that. God truly, you know, and I think a big part of eating disorder is not just making peace with food, but it's also just making peace with yourself and with God and realizing that, like, he's not putting those rules on you. You're putting those food rules on you. And he just truly cares about your heart and of your spirit.
Amen. Amen. Now, recovery is the next section. And obviously, someone does need to recover and get back in good health physically. How can this section also help them to recover spiritually?
Yeah, so the two go hand in hand. As we recover physically, we're going to recover spiritually as well, because as we recover physically and we make, you know, we let go of our rules and our obsession with exercise and our body, like I mentioned earlier, those are idols. Those are things that are drawing our focus and our attention away from God. So as we let go of those idols and we begin to recover, that's when we can then, you know, open our hands to those and then grasp onto what God is providing for us and put him first, as Matthew 6:33 says, to seek his kingdom first. And I also think that as we lose those rules and kind of along the process of recovering physically, we start to see ourselves as God sees us. We start to understand who he says about us and the fact that the only thing that's true about us and our identity is what God says, not what our parents say, not what we say, not what the world says, not what the media says. The only thing that's true is what God says about us. And so as we begin to understand, you know, that we don't have to look a certain way, we don't have to eat a certain way, we don't have to be obsessed with those things, we start to then, I believe, you know, we kind of remove those things from our heart, and then we can fill our heart and our spirit with the truths of God, with faith and hope and life and peace that comes from God and the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so that's how we then begin to recover spiritually.
Amen. Amen. And I want to ask this question here. It deals with body, but it ties into the recovery aspect. And you see the commercials and things like that for anorexia and all that, where, you know, it shows this overweight girl looking in the mirror and then it turns and shows her physically and she's all skinny. Is that how people facing this actually see themselves, you know, that they look in the mirror and they say, oh, I'm so fat, something like that? Is that how that's the perception on these commercials that they're trying to, the point they're trying to make, mm-hmm. but is that how it actually is? And how does the recovery aspect change that perception as you look in the mirror like that?
So I have 2 points on that. One, yes, that is sort of like it. I will say that, you know, people tend to think that eating disorders just people, the only people that can have eating disorders are just people who are super underweight or super skinny. I will say eating disorders don't have a size. So because it is more of a mental illness. So generally, yes, there is going to be symptoms like weight loss and that kind of thing. But there can be people who are not underweight who still have eating disorders. So I do want to put that out there. But okay. Yes, for the most part, that is a lot, is because our eyes are deceiving us. You know, it's different for every person. So I'm not saying you'll be underweight and you'll look in the mirror and think that you have, you know, 500 pounds to lose kind of thing. But it is, we can't see ourselves the right way. Even when I was at my lowest, I still thought that I could lose more weight, because you never get there. I look in the mirror and I find parts of me that still could lose a little bit of this or that. And now, you know, here I am 3 years later, when I look back at photos of there, like I am, if I'm going to be honest, I'm a little like disgusted and just sad. Like I had no life. Like I had, you know, when you look into my eyes, they were lifeless. Like my body was just so frail. And so, yeah, it really is crazy, because when you look in the mirror, you aren't seeing yourself right. Your eyes are deceiving you. The enemy's lies in your brain that tells you you could always lose more weight, you could be leaner or skinnier, whatever the case may be, are then kind of taking over. And so when we start to recover, you know, and even today, like my prayer every single morning is, God, help me to see me as you see me. Because like I said, who God says we are and how God sees us is our truth. And we can't always, you know, rely on our eyes and our sight, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith, not by sight. And so I'm not saying you can't ever look in the mirror, ever look at yourself again, but just understand that we have to have faith in who God says we are, and that we are beautiful and that we are unique, even if, you know, the sight that we see isn't society's standard or isn't what we like. But I truly think recovering, it's still something I struggle with every now and then, you know, you're still going to have bad days. But as we start to just like take our identity and accept it and put it into Christ, we realize that our body and our outward appearance actually don't matter as much. I believe it's 1 Samuel 16:7 says that, you know, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I think I really take that verse to matter to mind and realize that, you know, my outward appearance is the least interesting thing about me. And what's the most interesting thing about me is that I'm a follower of Christ, that God is my Father, you know, that I have faith and that I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me.
Amen. Amen. I want to come back to something you mentioned here, that not all eating disorders deal with, you know, people losing weight, you know, anorexia, all that. The overeating is also an eating disorder, and your book will help in that area as well. But give us some examples. Like I'm guessing, you know, that would be dealing with comfort foods, and that's like a mental thing for that. How does the overeating disorders tie into all this?
Yes. Yeah, so I never experienced it, so I know I won't be able to speak into it perfectly. But yes, but there are things like binge eating disorder. There is bulimia, where people eat a lot and then make themselves lose it in certain, you know, excrete it kind of thing. And I think with these, you know, of course, I've never been in it, but this book can definitely help you, because that's almost, instead of idolizing, you know, our body, or, you know, idolizing the, you know, not eating, we're almost on the other end idolizing eating. You know, we think food is our only, you know, coping mechanism. We think of food, you know, is that kind of becomes our idol, and it still takes our focus off of God. And so I think the same principles apply, in that, you know, we stop turning to food when we are brokenhearted. We stop turning to food when we are, you know, in a low place or desperate, and instead we turn to God. And of course, that journey is going to look differently, and it's still going to be hard. But I truly believe that, you know, all eating disorders, they stem because we take our eyes off of God and we put our entire focus and obsession on some sort of, you know, other thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And in your book, finally, we get to freedom. Now, share with our listeners about this section of the book and how they can apply it to their lives.
Yeah, so this is probably my favorite section because, of course, like, freedom is the goal and it totally is possible. I want to make it very clear, even if you are, you know, how long you've been into your journey, and no matter how hard it feels, like, freedom is possible because that's what Jesus died for. I believe it's Galatians that says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And it's like, truly, he did not set you free. He did not die on the cross for you to not be free. One of my favorite lines of the book is John 19:30, when Jesus says, "It is finished." And that's, you know, it's not, he didn't die and say, "It is finished as long as you look a certain way. It is finished as long as you're in control. It is finished as long as you do X amount of things." It's like, no, it is finished. Like, freedom is yours. All you have to do is receive Christ, and freedom is yours because Christ died for that. And as I've gone over, you know, the years, and it's been amazing, of course, to recover mentally and physically. For me, the hardest part was honestly probably recovering my relationship with God, but also the most rewarding and the most amazing part right now is the fact that I am where I am with God, and I have the freedom in that. And that really comes because I set my identity in Christ, and I realized that, hey, like, this is who I am. I'm not going to let anyone or anything else take this from me or, you know, keep me from this, because there's actually a line in a book I was reading the other day, and it said something along the lines of, like, we are more comfortable in the chains of slavery without God than we are in the unknown of freedom with God. And that just hit me because so often, like, I think the beginning parts of recovering, you know, and getting towards freedom can be good and exciting because you're eating again and you're feeling energized. But there comes a point when, like, you kind of hit almost this little lull, you know, like, you're kind of going up the mountain and then you look and all of a sudden you're going maybe a little bit down or a little bit flat and you're like, what the heck? I thought I was climbing this mountain. And so that can be a little bit discouraging, but, like, I want to encourage you in those moments, like, keep going because freedom is on the top of the mountain. You never know, like, how close you are and how close you are to breakthrough. And I think the reason that we sometimes fear freedom is because it is unknown. Like, you know, we think, at least from eating disorders, like, what will happen when I give up my identity as the healthy one? When I give up my identity as the skinny one? What will happen when I give up trying to control food and I'm not in control, kind of thing? And we have all these unknown fears and we almost fear that. And so we just kind of stay slightly bonded, you know, slightly chained down, or, you know, our chains have been broken by Jesus, but we don't realize it. And we think that we still have to stay there. And so I just really want to encourage you. I think this part of the book too will just give you verses that you can hide away, that you can use, you know, in your battles and in your low points of realizing that, like, God is with you, that freedom is possible, and that even though the unknown may be scary, like, God's already been there. And I think that really helps me. It's like, God's already in your tomorrow. God's already in your next year. He's already been there. He's been in the future. He knows it. And so nothing surprises him. So things might surprise you. Things might make you doubt, but nothing surprises him. And that's how true freedom can be found. So when we apply these verses to our life and realize that Christ has set us free, and we realize the life that God created us for. And, you know, John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so they may have life and have it to the full." And that's so true. Like, in our eating disorders, Satan wants to steal and kill and destroy our hope and our life and our purpose. But in Jesus, when we find that freedom, we realize that we were actually created to live an abundant life and created with such a great purpose in God.
Amen. 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 Another part that I really like in your book is how you insert the problem people are going through directly into Scripture. For example, for weakness, you have the reader write out what their biggest weakness is at that moment, to write it down, then insert that weakness into 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about,'" and then you have them insert their weakness, "so that Christ's power may rest on me." That is a very powerful tool that can be used by almost every person listening to us right now, and it doesn't have to be directly related to eating disorders. It can be any form of weakness we're experiencing. Kristen, that is so powerful. How has God used that revelation that you're now using to help others? How has he used that to help you?
Yes, thank you so much. That's honestly probably one of my favorite kind of applications, which side note, when I first started the book writing, I finished my first draft and I was intending to have the applications. It was literally just the verse and like the little part, the paragraphs after that. And something hit me. I was like, I want them to be able to tangibly apply this verse to their life. And so in my second draft, I literally went back and wrote application sections for every single verse. But if I'm being honest, that's probably my favorite one. And actually, in the weeks before my book launched, I went through the More Than Conquerors myself. And that was probably my favorite one to do for myself. And even though I wrote the book, like I found, especially in that application, but I found so much more freedom and growth for myself, even though I'm like, I wrote this book, I know what it says. But I think that has helped me so much because I am someone who likes to be very strong and independent, and I don't want to show my weakness. And inserting myself into that, because I think some verses we read and we're like, oh, that sounds nice. Like we'll throw it around as a Christian cliche, but like we don't actually apply it to our lives, whether it's because we don't know how or we don't want to, or we don't believe. And so I think actually inserting myself into this makes me realize that like I can't do it on my own. And that's a good thing. I think most people when like I can't do it on my own or my best isn't good enough and they start to feel down, but it's like, no, you can't do it on your own. Your best isn't good enough, but that because of that, that means you need a savior and that means you need God, and God is gladly, going to step in and be strong when you are weak, give you power when you feel powerless, like he is going to fill those gaps. And so really, through this whole process of recovering and writing More Than Conquerors, inserting myself and realizing that like, hey, I may be weak, but that does not mean that I am down and I am out. Like I am weak. And so it reminds me to turn my focus to God, invite him into the situation, and that's when I become strong and powerful and Amen. Able to do so much stuff.
Amen. Amen. And as you explained, you've had a few stumbles along the way, and that's not to be unexpected because the devil will always try to come and discourage us. How did God help to restore you when those setbacks occurred?
I think first and foremost, he was just gracious to show me that it was a setback or that the behavior I was doing was harmful. Because there was a time, where I kind of jumped from, maybe this eating disorder and I jumped to tracking macros and this other thing. And then I realized he brought to my attention that that wasn't healthy. So first of all, definitely him just showing me that. But I think in those setbacks, it truly is realizing that like he is still with you, that he's not going to leave you because of that. And like then he gives you the strength to move forward in faith. And I had to really rely on that because a lot, the world lives by sight. And a lot of times we make decisions based on how we feel and our feelings are valid. However, living by sight and living by feelings, like that's not going to get us anywhere. It's only living by faith. And so it's in those moments and those setbacks where I had to look, really just turn my eyes to God and say, I don't understand. I can't see. I'm not even quite believe, but like, help me in my unbelief. I know that's a verse in the Bible where the guy's like, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. And knowing that that's okay. Like the first couple times I had setbacks, I felt ashamed. I'm like, are you kidding me? I should be on fire for God by now. What's wrong with me? And it's like, nothing's wrong with you. Like we are human. And until the day we get to heaven, we are going to make mistakes. Even the best pastor in the world has setbacks, the most anointed person or whatever. And so it's giving ourselves grace and realizing that God's already given us the grace. We just have to receive it and allow ourselves to, just be covered by his grace for us. And I was at a circle, my woman's small group the other day, and they gave me a really good picture of, it's like, like you said, we're climbing the mountain and it's like there's a crack down one side of the mountain. And so of course, we keep passing the crack. So we pass it and we make our way around the mountain and we come around again. We're still going to pass it. But as we get towards the top, the crack gets smaller and smaller. And I think that's exactly it. It's like, don't get down on yourself when you still deal with the same struggles or you face setbacks. Realize that doesn't mean you're stalled. That means you're climbing the mountain. Right. And hopefully each time you hit those setbacks, it's just smaller and smaller and smaller. And then we won't get to the end with no crack until we get to heaven. But realize that it's okay. And just realize that God's been faithful to lead you past the crack before. He's going to lead you to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to lead you in this again.
Amen. That's a good example. Amen. Now, explain what you mean by a couple terms that you include in your book, where you redefine your identity, rebuild your faith, and rediscover your relationship with God.
Yeah. So I'll admit I'm a little bit of a word nerd. I just like words. I like little phrases that sound good. And so I really liked when this came to me. But the reason I also wanted to put re on there instead of just define, build and discover is because, this is great if this book, if you know you're not a believer or you're just kind of starting out and you get into it. But I also wanted to write this for the people who are like me, who I grew up knowing God. I was on fire. Like my first semester of college, I was probably the most on fire for God I've ever been. And that second semester is when the eating disorder hit. And so I think a lot of times there's kind of a stigma that's like, if you deal with, you know, mental health or eating disorders or anything, that's like, you didn't pray hard enough, your faith isn't strong enough. And so I kind of wanted to show people, it's like, no, no matter what you've been through, like you can still redo these things. So that's where the read comes from. But yes, like, I think these are honestly the three main pillars for overcoming eating disorders and just for like finding victory in Christ in any battle. And it's because, you know, first with our identity, it's the most important, because if we don't know who we are, we can't know what we were created to do. And like, if we don't understand what God says about us, we will never understand the depths that he has for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that it shows that our identity is so important, because that's the first thing that the enemy will try to come after and get us to put in our identity in worldly things, because he knows that if we lose our identity, we lose our way. And so that's the big thing here, is I want to help people just redefine their identity in Christ instead of worldly things. You know, your identity is not in your job. It's not in your body. It's not in how much you exercise. It's not in your relationships. It's not in how productive you are. Your identity is set in Christ. And my pastor at my church, he always says, identity leads to behavior. And so like, who you are leads to what you do. And so I think it's so important that we work on identity first, because until we set identity in Christ, we will never be able to recover and find the freedom that God provides, because our behavior will not follow what our identity, you know, is not, kind of thing.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's so true. But what are some practical steps that someone can use to help accomplish these things?
Yeah. So with, for the identity, and so important to study who God says about you. And that can look like, you know, reading the Bible, finding devotionals, memorizing scripture, all those things. And something that really helped me actually was to write on like post-it notes or colorful pieces of paper, different scriptures about, you know, who God says you are and the truth found in his word, and tape it all over my mirrors, tape it all over my room, my desk at work, my car, all of those things. It's not only just helps you memorize it because you see it more often, but it also helps me, you know, if I go to start trying to compare my body in the mirror, I can look up and see those verses and I'm reminded to turn my focus to God. And just reminded of the truth of who he says about me, even if I can't feel it or see it. So that's my practical probably idea for identity. Or you also, I've done this before, is like in a journal or on a piece of paper, just make a long list of who God says you are and everything that you are in Christ, with scripture included if you want it, and then go back to it. Like I literally have a place in my journal sticky noted where I will go back to every now and then and remind myself of this is who God says I am, and just really solidify my identity in him.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. This is all great information, Kristen. It's all inside your book, More Than Conquerors. As I mentioned before, your book's available on Amazon, correct?
Yes.
Okay, is that how people get a copy of it?
Yes, it's on Amazon. If you also go to kristenshott.com, you'll see a tab for More Than Conquerors, and that has a little bit more information about the book and the direct link if you don't want to try and like search in Amazon. So that's also another way. But ultimately, you're going to have to go to Amazon either way.
Okay. And Chris, this so interesting, and you are so engaging. I mean, I can feel your passion for what you're doing coming through this interview. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So like I said, my website is kristenshott.com. Also on Instagram, I'm just at kristenshott. Those are probably the two best ways to reach me.
Amen. Amen. Folks, eating disorders are so prevalent in our society and our culture today. Odds are you know someone who's going through and suffering from an eating disorder right now. They may not admit it to you, but you're sensing the Lord is showing you this might be the case. You need to pray and ask the Lord to give you favor in talking with this person so that they can get the help they need to overcome it, because the Lord will provide. Amen. And I believe one of the ways he'll provide is by having you purchase this book from Kristen Schott, More Than Conquerors. This book will give you the background for helping your loved one, your friend, maybe even yourself. This book is inspired by God and is full of scripture references through and through to bring you or the person you care about out of this eating disorder and into a deeper relationship with God. In fact, since this is Christmas shopping season at the time of this recording, I'd ask that you consider buying two books or three, one for yourself, one for the person Lord's put in your heart to sow into their life. Maybe you're part of a book club or a support group. purchase one for each of your members and sell them as gifts this holiday season. Folks, this is a very, very needful thing that the Lord has now placed in front of you. Go down to the show notes, click the links to order your copies today. Get in touch with Kristen. Ask her questions. Ask her to come speak to your group or conference, especially if it involves young women. She is a pro, and I know your group will get a lot out of inviting her to speak. Kristen, thank you so much for writing this very needful book and coming on the program today to share about it.
Thank you. I so enjoyed my time and just the conversation about God that we had. It was amazing.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Kristen Schott and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.